The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. America.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Donnie, Brian, Robert, Joe reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello and welcome once again. It is 4 a.m. and welcome back to the 4 a.m. podcast. Hope you have your tickets and you're ready to strap in for this one.
And a pillow.
I am your host as always, Tony. Join with me is...
Rob Norris.
Brian.
And Joe.
And tonight we will be discussing the 1986 classic, The Delta Force, with Chuck Norris.
Let's not be too hasty with that classic title.
I say that mockingly in front of all of these. It's just.
I guess it's classic in that sense that it's been out for 25 years.
Yeah.
With such wonderful taglines as the hijack, the ordeal, the rescue. That's pretty much it right there. Yeah. That's the movie.
As long as the rescue is in a very tiny font. Compared to the others.
And they don't negotiate with terrorists. They blow them away.
Mm-hmm.
Also true.
The Delta Force faced their deadliest mission ever. Mm-hmm. So, do we want to discuss our personal history with this movie?
I remember this movie vaguely as a kid. And in my memory, it was an awesome movie because of Chuck Norris. I was a dumb kid. I freely admit that. I'm still dumb. I'm a dumb adult too, but like, my younger self should not watch movies like this.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I saw this once when I was a kid, and I remember this movie being badass. Just action packed. I would like to point out that was probably close to 30 years ago.
Rob.
I don't think I've ever seen this before.
Yeah, I can't say that some parts of the action scene towards the end seem familiar and kind of stand out. But yeah, that could be pretty much any terrorist fighting or Chuck Norris movie. So can't really say it stuck with me. So that's it. This movie is directed by, I'm going to screw this up, Menahem Golan, I believe is the director's name, Menahem Golan, I'm not sure, but we will hear from him again, so I'll have plenty of other times to butcher his name, because he brought us such wonderful films as Over the Top, Enter the Ninja, and The Apple.
Two of those are on the list.
Two of them aren't?
Enter the Ninja's on the list?
I thought it was.
I didn't put it on there.
Oh.
It should it be. Will be, yeah. But the Apple probably should be too.
Nope.
It's
nope.
No. Well, of course you say that, but
nope.
One of his most infamous movies, as apparently he showed it at the, I believe it was Cannes Film Festival, where he started out by giving everyone in the audience free copies of the soundtrack. Then they hated the movie so much they started booing through the soundtracks at the screen, and he went back to his hotel room and tried to kill himself.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
I kind of want to watch that movie.
It's a musical loosely based on Adam and Eve, set in the future world of 1994.
Oh, what could go wrong with that?
Now, I will point out, I have the Riff Trax version of this movie.
The Apple?
Apple.
Oh, awesome.
I watched that one.
Which is the only way I'm going to sit through it.
I'll watch that one.
I think that might count. Well, as long as we don't steal their jokes.
Not for those.
All right. Well, anyway. Does anyone want to take a guess at the budget this movie had?
How much? $17 million.
How much does it cost to rent a plane for 13 days?
We'll find out in a moment.
$60 million.
$60 million?
That's high.
Yeah.
That's high.
Oh, I'm going to go with
$8.
8 million.
Joe was very close. It was $9 million.
Wow. Because they had that. They had two planes for a long time in this movie.
It clearly was just like vehicles and, well, one or two stars. Anyone want to guess how much this movie made?
$17 million.
I'm going to say 25.
$17 million and $1. Dick. No, I know the answer. Oh.
Yeah, actually, it was $17 million. Well, give or take, I don't know well enough.
I think it was a little over 17.
I tend to round up, so yeah. I'm giving that to Brian, unless Brian knew already.
No, I didn't know already.
Look, I was like, shit, when he said that, I was like, damn. I got to be a jerk now.
All right. So do we want to discuss the cast at this point?
Okay, so you got Chuck Norris and then some other people.
Yep.
That's fair. Next.
Chuck Norris did. But he didn't have an opportunity to do much.
Was he in this?
Barely.
Kind
of. Well, he was in the post-credits thing, right?
He was in part B of this movie.
Yeah, there was like one hot minute where they just turned him loose on the rest of the cast. And he just kicked one man for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. All right, well, you have Lee Marvin as Colonel Nick Alexander, again, not really appearing in the film.
His eyebrows sure did.
Yeah,
it's real.
That's all you remember from him. And I think really the only other person of note I would say is Robert Forster as Abdul. Robert Forster is not an Arabic man. No. Not even close.
Nope.
He looks very much like Alan Thicke.
Yep.
So there were a lot of names in this movie. Just none of them had anything to do, any screen time, any screen presence.
There were no lines in the movie.
There was no dialogue. Yeah,
I think partly because, as you said, there were a lot of names in this movie. So there were so many people that none of them really got any time to do anything of value.
Well, the movie was set up so no one had time to do
anything. Yeah, yeah, it's not like there was too many people. It's like you watch Avengers, they all have a whole thing that they each do.
True, but I mean, like, we're bouncing between, like, what, 60 people that were on the plane, plus some stewardesses. You got, like, another 30, 40 terrorists at any one time.
Yeah, none of them do anything. There's
the
priest.
You got the two or three different air traffic controllers and another, like, 30, 40 members of the Delta Force. I know none of them do anything, but that's my point. Like, we're bouncing around all these different areas with all these different people. Like, just focus on one person or one, you know, a handful of people. Let them do something of value.
Here's the challenge.
The movie is trying to tell 30 different stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the challenge to our listeners. For those of you who have a lot of patience and a lot of time on your hands, I would like to see a pie chart of all the main actors in this movie and exactly how many minutes of screen time they actually each had.
So, Matt, get to it.
I mean, he's not going to do that.
He does not have the patience or the attention span to deal with something like that.
He also has a job. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, as I'm watching this, I realized, like, what I kept complaining about was that it really was just the two villains were the only characters they focused on for any amount of time.
Yeah.
And it was just Abdul and Mustafa hijack a plane.
Yeah.
It's the newest Harold and Kumar sequel.
I'd be okay with that, honestly. Yeah. If that was how it was built, I'd be okay with that.
But then they should have been, like, the protagonists. I'm not saying they had to be, like, good guys, but, it should have focused more on them, and Delta Force just should have been, like, something looming in the background that they had to worry about.
Even then, they kind of were, well, one of them at least, because I forgot which one he was, but, like, he gave the girl back her doll, because he had a daughter of the same age. And
Mustafa.
That was Mustafa, and then, like, he helped the pregnant woman out, and was, like, taking care of her, and, like, he's the person I, you know, connected with most, and, like...
His lifelong dream was to drive a truck full of explosives into the White House.
Well, yeah. Okay, I don't want to say it be on record as saying I connected with him once you point that out, but the point is, like, he's the most, you know, kind of relatable person for a while, and yeah, he's the bad guy.
Terrorist Charlie Day.
Yeah.
I will also point out that William Wallace starred in this movie playing Pete Peterson.
Control it from here.
Oh, sure.
Pete Peterson.
Pete Peterson. I think that was the guy on the dune buggy that got shot.
Mm. Oh, I think that was the same guy from whose leg was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Pete Peterson.
I think we actually have an update on Brian's fancy watch. Would you care to fill us in, Brian?
No, I can control the camera on my phone through my watch. So that's Joel's holding my phone, checking up data stuff. I was going to take pictures of him holding my phone.
That's pretty fancy. Back to you, Tony.
Way to derail everything. All right.
What was going on? Delta Force.
I was just going to say, not like we have a whole lot to deal with.
You want to just charge right into this?
This was Canon Films, I believe. Yeah. We'll hear from them again, I'm sure.
What year was this?
1987?
86.
So I probably was like 9 when I saw it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like 9 or 10.
I think the reason why I remember this being badass as a kid was because...
You forgot most of it?
Well, no. During that time, it would have been on TV.
I'd have been
channel surfing while watching it. I would have got to the end where shit's happening. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And I remember that's probably why.
Plus, a ton of it would have been cut out to edit it for time.
Yeah, I probably just missed the beginning.
I was going to say, or like through flipping around, you see the first part, which is an entirely different movie. And you're just like, that looks dull. And then you flip back and you're like... Oh, wow, this movie looks awesome. Yeah. What's this?
That's probably what happened.
Well, to be fair, when you have commercial breaks in there, I mean, what makes Dragon Ball Z people so able to watch, you know, an entire season of absolutely nothing?
You know, there's going to be a few parts that are really awesome.
Well, that's like soap opera for young males.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like going on the same, you know, you watch these terrorists come in on the plane. And you're like, oh, what's going to happen? And then there's like a G.I. Joe commercial or something. And then, you know, you watch, I don't know what happened after that. I zoned out completely, but terrorists stay on a plane. And then
a lot of stewardesses get bitch slapped.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And then another commercial break. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, oh, look, it's, you know, Clear Pepsi or something, and then
Pepsi Clear.
It goes on
Crystal
from there.
Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi.
It's back, y'all.
we will have a party once they re-release Ecto Cooler.
That's fair.
Oh yeah,
I'm down for that.
Supposedly it's happening. That's what I've heard for the new movie.
Oh,
nice.
We'll have a party.
Notice how we're not talking about Bob
the City anymore. There's nothing going on. That's how it was. I just described the first 45 minutes of the movie in my little stupid rant I was going on. Let's continue.
So it starts with a failed mission. There's fire.
Oh, yeah.
It does start off, though, like straight with an explosion. Like, yeah. I mean, that is a good way to start a movie.
Yeah, it's too bad they didn't continue with that.
Did the first Transformers movie rip this off? It's like the same scene with the big helicopter coming in and...
Well, I mean, Operation Eagle Claw failed and doomed the Carter administration because, what was the Decepticon's name, showed up as the helicopter and just wrecked everything.
Blackout.
Yeah, it was Blackout. Yeah, because Blackout showed up and just wrecked all the vehicles they needed.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, including, I guess, Peterson being trapped under a Jeep, which... Our buddy Chuck Norris lifts off.
So did Stan Lee write the script?
I don't know. Well, the funniest part for me for this opening sequence where he's saving this guy's life, right? He climbs through this debris in the plane. I mean, the helicopter. Climbs over this burning shit. Climbs over all the stuff to get to the back where he is. He literally just walked around all of that to be right where he was, like, way faster. He just walked around to the back.
As I mentioned, the part I found the funniest was him saying, you know, as soon as I lift this, just pull your leg out, and then proceeds to not really lift the Jeep at all.
It was a Jeep pinning this guy's leg. And he's like, I'm going to lift the Jeep, you pull your leg out. And he's just like, it shows him, like, pushing against the Jeep, but it doesn't move at all. He did rub his butt on it.
Yeah.
He is Chuck Norris. Maybe that was enough.
Oh, I liked how they were playing that, like, inspirational synth rock, that one song that plays through the whole movie. It's a pretty good song. It's probably my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
But as they're playing that, and it's just, it's a failed mission. It's like the whole, everything's gone wrong. Like a helicopter blew up for no reason and you're flying off sad because your mission failed. But they're like,
it is awesome inspirational music for them to be playing while they run away with their tail between their legs.
Yeah, it's Alan Silvestri, who has done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Not any of which I can name right now.
America.
They saved money by just buying one track from him.
Let me check the...
Using the shit out of it.
Which, again, I believe was one of the 18 tracks used for Commando.
Mm-hmm.
Threw that one in there. But so from there on, we just kind of lose Chuck Norris and the Delta Force. And well, now we're boarding a plane.
Well, funny story, actually, though, about that scene, though, is originally when they were going to make this movie, they had the support of the actual man who made Delta Force. He was going to be like a consultant for the movie.
Oh.
And like, you know, give them some of like the gritty stuff that happened with Delta Force for them to use. But they, in the original plan for the movie, though, it was going to be about Operation Eagle Claw, and it was going to succeed in the movie. So the guy just stormed off in disgust. He was like, nope. It's going to be this.
So Alan Silvestri has done the music for Back to the Future,
mm-hmm.
The Avengers, Back to the Future Part 2, yeah. Captain Predator.
Pretty much all the big things that Danny Elfman didn't do.
Yeah, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, stuff, other things, Lilo and Stitch. So, Delta Force. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know...
I don't remember if this was earlier in his career, or maybe that was
the problem. He had a lot of shit to do, so he's just like, I made you a song.
Here, I guess this is 80. This is 86, so yeah. They were filming this. Like, when did Back to the Future come out?
Somewhere around here. I don't know.
88? I don't know.
Couldn't be that late. Could it?
Let me go back to the Great Goggle.
We gotta go back, Marty.
Yeah, we gotta go back. Back to the phone.
All I can tell you is, let's keep in mind, Danny Elfman did a lot of great things as well, but he also did 50 Shades of Grey.
So your daughter, she's going to marry Danny a black man.
Did that? Really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
We don't know that, Tony. None of us have seen it.
Oh, Back to the Future was 1985, so he was busy doing Back to the Future while this was being made, so he probably like just gave them the rejected songs.
I like this one track he farted out for the movie.
But it's one track,
I listened to it on the way here.
He's like,
that's all you need.
Take he's like, go. Oh, you guys need it. What's your budget? Oh, okay. There you go. You just use that. Yeah, you can slow it down, speed it up, whatever you need.
I almost feel like, yeah, he was writing for Back to the Future and just like frantically, you know, writing stuff up and just handing it to a guy. And somebody came along and was like, could you write us something for this movie? And he just handed them a paper and they left. And that's how they got this song. Mm. Like, this one's enough. All right. I don't know if that's going to work again. Anyway. So, yeah, we get to boarding, the excitement of boarding a plane.
Yeah.
Meeting a bunch of people you don't care about.
Bunch of people.
Yeah. At all.
And won't matter.
With backstories that will go nowhere.
And it starts with, you know, having a random brown guy sweating in the airport.
Yeah.
Well. Being held up by security.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The scrawny Mandzoukas.
Yeah.
I described him as Arabic Danny Sexbang. Yes.
Yeah, he's sweating. He's freaking out because he's late, I guess. He didn't buy his ticket. I don't know what
happened. Oh, he had his ticket and his passport. But for some reason, they didn't want to let him on the plane.
Like, I'm sorry, sir. Well, you're an Arab.
Well, that wasn't just for some reason. They told him because the plane was full. That's why I thought he didn't have a ticket. But
well, I think they told him the plane was full because she was getting scared.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we also meet an elderly Jewish couple and a bunch of other people and blah, blah, blah.
He's standing next to the danger color chart.
His shade of brown was a little too dark. Yeah, that's why the super white guy was Arab quotation marks got on.
The leader.
But we also see that the local handyman, who I guess is also working for them, gets on the plane pretending to fix something and just starts loading it with grenades and guns.
You can tell he's a bad guy by how sweaty he is.
Yes. Yeah, all the bad guys are really sweaty in this movie.
All of
real
everything.
Sweaty. Wait, yeah, everybody's sweaty.
Well, but no, they make everybody else sweaty.
Oh, okay. It's contagious.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's on the plane. He just jams some grenades into the napkin holder. Like,
this is just the worst hiding spot ever.
The perfect crime.
Yeah, like, what if one of the stewardesses had to just take a dump or something real quick? And it's like, oh, I'm going to drop my... Oh, hand grenades. Okay.
Well, not even that, but, like, presumably before they go too far or anything, they're going to, like, have meals and whatnot. Like, napkins get handed out with drinks and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, if they just open that for any reason, these grenades were not hidden at all. They would have rolled out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he sets it up so that the terrorists can have some weapons as soon as they need them. They take off, and of course they go, they grab the guns. That one kid sees them, he's like, oh shit! And they just hijack the plane.
Yep.
Okay, now I want to be honest here. Are we gonna go through all that?
I hope not. No. Oh my god! No. I'm wondering why we've been as detailed as we have.
Because I'm scrambling at something to talk about here.
Can we just be like,
there's a point worth talking about, you know? Because I like his swag as he just struts down the aisle, hijacking this plane, slapping every student. Yes,
he absolutely does.
Oh, they just beat up everyone. They're just total assholes at this point.
There's some nonsense with a grenade that doesn't matter, and basically they just hijack the plane.
Yeah.
But the captain does flick one switch that alerts the control tower that there's a terrorist attack.
Yep.
That's correct.
Well, he flicks the emergency switch. Yeah. I guess. I don't know why they decided that meant it was a hijacking.
Well, I guess he deviated from his flight plan while he flipped it.
Well, they hadn't left the runway yet.
No, they were in there.
No, they were near.
They were in there.
It was after the fast seatbelt signs got turned off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. He waited because he had to poop. So.
Oh, he had to poop and get the grenades out of the bathroom. So, yeah, they're in charge.
So, yeah, they're going around. They're knocking people around. The Jewish people, the Jewish woman tries to hide her ring to prove that
it doesn't matter. It comes to nothing.
Chuck Norris apparently lives at the circus. We still never got an answer to that.
Yeah.
He lives on a farm.
He lives in Texas. He's a Texas Ranger.
Texas
Ranger.
Texas.
As Joe brought this up, this is what I noticed, and this is what the key difference. You cannot tell if that's outside or inside.
It's a big old barn.
That's kind of an issue.
Big old barn in Texas on his ranch.
Chuck Norris. It could be driving an alternate universe.
Yeah. It's a pocket universe where he just races horses.
Those are where Pegasus is?
When we see him again showing up, he's driving a Bronco truck, right? Wearing denim, head to toe, and cowboy boots. Motherfucker's Walker Texas Ranger.
I get all that.
Those may have been the four horses of the apocalypse.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with him raising horses. What throws me off is we seem to be in his kitchen where he's watching television, but when it pans out, you see the open wall behind him leads just to horse stables.
Yeah.
Possibly without a roof. So
maybe his man cave has a kitchen in his horse stables.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Rain knows better than to fall on Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris can do whatever he wants with that.
Oh, we're just going to bounce around the memes like that.
He has it opened up for when he just needs to hop out a window and get on a horse.
All right.
So
he doesn't have time for doors.
We're maybe half an hour into the movie, and his entire plot arc for his character is already done. Because, when Operation Eagle Claw failed, he's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I'm off the force. And then, the plane gets hijacked. He's like, I'm back on the force. And that's it. That's all the development.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, a German stewardess is forced to round up Jewish people for these terrorists.
She doesn't want to do it. She fought them about doing it. She was like, I'm not a Nazi. I can't do it.
And Mustafa Abdul slaps the hell out of her and goes, do it, you cunt.
I don't think he calls her a cunt, does he?
No, he does.
Wow. I didn't remember that either. I remember you said it. I don't remember.
No, because you guys were talking.
Because we were talking.
Trying to find out.
We got distracted.
We were trying to entertain ourselves.
Again, Joe, we're sorry you told us twice.
Yeah, our apologies.
But yeah,
actually, I don't need to apologize. It's not my fault. It snowed.
Yeah. Also, at this point, they just start beating the ever-loving crap out of some naval officer who didn't want to try and fight them.
All he said is, you would be nothing without that gun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they just...
That dude...
Which is true.
He got it handed to him. Like,
oh,
that,
yeah.
That dude, that poor dude, like...
Yeah.
They beat him several times.
Yeah. They even made him stay on the plane so he could beat him some more.
Yep. With the armrest of a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at this point, they try to land. They have trouble landing. They can't land. They eventually land.
They now, what airport was it? They fueled up in.
They went to Beirut first.
Yes.
So where they unloaded all the Jewish hostages.
No. They're first...
No, first they need to get fuel, right?
They landed somewhere else
That's first. Where they unloaded them, at Beirut.
Oh, was it?
Oh, that was okay. Beirut. Okay.
They fueled up.
Yeah. Their plan was they went to Beirut, then they fueled up, went to Algiers... And then went back to Beirut.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. Because you got to pad out the movie.
What to do? What the reason for this stuff?
You don't need to pad out the movie. It's too long. And nothing happens.
There's no explanation for the acts. They said we're freedom fighters.
We should have had closed captioning on this thing, so maybe somebody would tell us what the hell was happening.
No, I'll fully admit this was dull as shit, and I got distracted a lot, but. Yeah, I what little of the plot I did hear, I could not follow because it was just.
Well, there wasn't one. There literally wasn't one.
There was some talk of like comrades of theirs that they lost for some because of something and whatever, but like there's never like an end game to what they're doing. They just they hated Americans for this and they wanted to get revenge, so they took hostages or something. I don't know.
Like, so the movie feels like. A propaganda movie, like, don't fuck with America, we'll come blow your shit up and get our shit back. Like, I think that's the point of the movie, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah, that's like, kind of what I got.
If you have to look into it, like, because there's, even at the end, they're celebrating shit, like, but, like, the reason for stuff happening, there isn't one. Like, we're taking hostages. Why? Because we got hostages. Yeah. What does that mean?
We're bad guys.
Step three is profit, but what's step two? Like,
step one, hostages. All right. So yeah, just to cut ahead here. Now we have all the Jewish and the Russian guy who just has a different sounding name. So because you know he's different, so he's bad, I guess.
So he's got like a Polish or Russian last name. So they assume he's.
No, I got that, but that was just that's terrible. But anyway, they let them all off, so they're in one location. Everybody else gets taken to this other location.
A lot more terrorists get on the plane.
Yeah, a lot more terrorists get on the plane. Now, this is when, several minutes into the movie, probably like
45 to an hour. Right.
Chuck tries to get on the plane, but finally word gets to them that other hostages are held somewhere else, so they have to abort. So the general comes in blaring a siren, alerting everyone.
They were like, there's only two terrorists on the plane. It's like, how do you know that? It's like, oh, like, good guess. Like, there's no way that they know.
Yeah. They literally said.
Shot in the dark.
Yeah. And surprise, surprise, there's more terrorists on the plane.
Well, like I said, they
left. The weird thing is, they were correct. Somehow, they were correct.
No, because I think they just looked up how many Arabic people were on the plane.
Yeah, like, for real.
Yeah, I think that's how they did that.
But, like, so they let the women and children off the plane at this point. And instead of taking them immediately to someone to like debrief them, find out what's going on, they send them the fuck away. Like, have fun going over there, ladies.
Yeah, they just took that one German stewardess.
Yeah, they don't ask them who's in the plane, what do they have, who are they talking to, who's helping them out. None of that stuff. Like,
yeah, well, realistically, there should have been just someone on that bus with them. So as they're driving away, they're like, "Hey, what's going on?"
I should write that right then and there. That's what should have been happening. We don't all have to look at what. Point out, we just keep talking like what's happening.
I don't know what the hell is happening.
It's going to involve us.
We're having a candy refill break.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just keep talking. It's okay.
Because I didn't know
that. It's all right. It's okay. Keep going.
Stop. Now you're done.
I wanted you to do it.
Okay.
All right. So.
Here you go, sweetie.
All right.
Thank you.
So anyway, the general starts blaring his siren. The jig is up. The terrorists freak out. They start firing wildly. The general and the goon that was driving his Jeep just pull up into the target zone.
I think that goon wanted to die.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or he wanted the general to die. It's hard to say.
Like, this general sucks.
Right into the line of fire.
This guy sucks.
Wait, did we already talk Oh, does this happen at the same time? The mannequin?
Not yet. That's immediately after.
Yeah, because at this point, they start firing. They blow up the fuel truck. They're like, screw you guys. We're out of here. And we were going to be peaceful or whatever, but now you pissed us off. So they shoot the naval officer and drop the mannequin out the plane.
Yeah, Mustafa's like, deuces.
He literally hold Chuck's deuces out. Yep. Chuck's deuces.
They close the door and fly off. So yeah, Elite Delta Force so far has done jack.
Absolutely nothing.
Just got a guy killed. That was it. Yeah,
so far, there's like maybe three scenes of them, and it's just like 50 guys in black costumes standing around not doing shit.
And this is what, almost an hour into the movie now?
Yeah, almost.
Like, oh, now we have to go to Israel and practice more.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And this is when the movie should have started, where it's Chuck Norris and his team rushing on a plane, seeing how quickly they can shoot a couple dummies in the head. And they get word about where the other hostage might be held and where the plane eventually went. They start formulating some kind of plan.
Yeah, the terrorists are being obvious as hell. They just drive a bus full of hostages up and just walk them in their compound.
Yeah.
Right in range of the priest who's a spy for Mossad.
Spy priest. They're not even pretending these are just a group of guys. It's like, no, we have guns we're waving around, and these people have bags on their head. There's no question about what's happening here.
I do believe that was a school, they said, that they had an anti-aircraft gun sitting on the front lawn.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, this scene is it's like a Family Guy skit where they're like, in terrorist town, the center of town, this is terrorist headquarters.
It really did. It really did.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
That literally is almost what it said.
So some priest alerts them to this. They formulate a plan to get in. And that's when we finally kind of get going.
Not even.
Well, that's when Chuck Norris and what's the guy, Pete, show up pretending to be Canadians.
Yes.
Classic Canadian ruse.
Where did we actually clock this at an hour and 15 minutes?
I think so.
Yeah.
Was that around here?
That's when they meet the priest and then Abdul kills the priest.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I was like, timestamp.
Yeah. Abdul kills the priest, yeah.
Like, shit was happening on timestamp.
Yeah. And now we have a car chase.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the poor priest, too, just he gets pulled into the school. Immediately runs out, starts screaming go, go, guys, go, and gets shot and knocked over this ledge. Or does he even get shot before?
No, he falls, just falls.
Yeah. All right. So he's dead. Yeah, we get this car chase where every car instantly explodes.
No, they roll for a little bit.
All right.
Come to a complete stop, then explode.
One of them hit water and explodes. Legit.
I do believe the car not only blew up hitting the a truck full of water, but the truck full of water also exploded, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there was the requisite drive through the fruit stand in slow-mo.
Yeah. There were several fruit stands.
Yeah.
My cabbages.
My cabbages. Yeah, where are we now?
Well, this is when Delta Force just shows up and reenacts the invasion of Normandy of this ship. They're supposed to sneak up on this town, and they just it's a full-scale amphibious assault.
Yeah. After Chuck Norris, he gets away with his friend, mm-hmm. they fast forward to nighttime. Here's his night invasion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wonder where Delta Force is, and then you look out, and there's a small building that comes rolling up on the ocean, basically. Yep. Delta Force all gets out, and there's just a bunch of vehicles waiting for him, I guess.
There's dune buggies with rocket launchers on the top. Everything. There's motorcycles. There's no vehicle with cover or armor whatsoever.
And these are straight up G.I. Joe vehicles. They have motorcycles with mortar shells and machine guns. With what else was
infinite ammo, mind you.
Yeah, it had machine guns, missiles, and mortars.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, if you do a wheelie, you can launch the front tire off, it'll catch on fire, and cut somebody's head off.
They were dirt bikes, even. It wasn't even motorcycles, mm-hmm. they were dirt bikes.
Dirt bikes. They just launch a full-scale assault on these things.
Well, you forget about sneaking in.
Yes, I just had to go to
the raft.
Chuck and his group first need to try and secure the hostages, so they have to sneak in through a sewer pipeline. So they get dressed up in scuba diving gear, to which the bad guys are, I guess, just doing the normal patrol.
They have bright yellow scuba tanks.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. The bad guys are doing a normal lookout. They shine a light out on the sea to where this raft full of guys, just in all black with bright yellow tanks on their back, just kind of all duck down in a circle like this is going to hide them.
They just do like a huddle.
Yeah. It works, though.
Like, hey, we're not here.
I believe Rob put it best with the they're going on the method of if I can't see you, you can't see me.
Yeah.
But I think those were the rules, because meanwhile the rest of Delta Force is straight up driving through town.
Yeah.
Yep.
Through Terrorist Town. Full regalia.
It's trouble in Terrorist Town, everybody.
Yeah, and nobody cares.
That reminds me of back at college when James, he would sneak up on you by going, stealth, 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 yeah. Stealth, and it worked every time. Every time it worked.
Okay. They bust through the floor, just start firing wildly at the quote-unquote terrorists.
And what guy's doing, like, calisthenics on the monkey bars? Yeah, shoot the shit out
of him. So, yeah, they do their poop circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, looks like turds.
Yeah, I don't know what that was supposed to be, but it did. It looked like just a dried up turd they smeared on the wall.
It reminded me of the Mr. Hanky commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little rolling it in.
Also, not sure where they got that ladder system or whatever they were.
They built a scaffolding.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was crazy.
But just the fact that they bust in there firing, like, that one guy in the monkey bars alone, he dies and falls, firing his gun wildly throughout this room. Like, half the hostages would have been dead right there. Just by mistake. But that's not enough. Now the Jeeps start showing up and firing rocket launchers and
just straight up America. Like, they blow everything up.
Yeah, just hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One guy gets to the radio. He tries to warn the others, but
Chuck literally says all hell is broken loose.
Mustafa dies like a bitch hiding under the bed.
Right. Yep.
I believe you get what this movie attempts to have as a one-liner of sleep tight, sucker.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
I heard the sucker part. I didn't hear what else he said.
Yeah, he tried.
That's like he got the first shot off at Chuck, but it just hit his flashlight, I guess.
Yeah.
And then so he was fine, of course. But the guy on the radio gets killed, and the dude on the other end of the radio is like, "If you can hear me, Americans, I'm going to kill you. Whatever, can you hear me?"
He wants to negotiate.
Does he say?
He says we want to negotiate.
Oh, I thought he was threatening him.
No.
Oh.
You'd think there would be like some kind of exchange, you know, get another clever one-liner in there or something, but no. Chuck Norris just murders the radio.
Yep. Well, he does say loud and clear. I call that a one-liner.
I guess, yeah.
Not that the other guy could hear that, but... at this point it's just explosions, right?
It really is.
I mean, there's two separate battles going on, but it's not clear, like, who's where and who's fighting who.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because the problem is, like, at the beginning of the fight, all the good guys dressed up like the bad guys to fit in. Mm-hmm. So by the time everybody's fighting, I don't know who's doing what, or who's who, and where's what. And
also, I mean, this is like an hour and a half into the movie at this point.
Yeah,
and like
I don't care anymore.
I watched it on you guys. Yeah, you guys were worn down by this movie. I checked out.
I did not care.
Yeah,
it's like too little, too late. Movie.
Sure, maybe this was explained at some point in the setup, but we were just too gone to even notice.
Yeah.
Again, as I said, like once we got to the point of like them sneaking in or whatever, like that would have been fine much earlier in the film. But at this point, I'm so eager for just anything to happen that I just can't possibly care anymore. Like you are taking too long to do anything. But I guess the part of his team gets a bunch of the hostages. They're trying to get out. A grenade gets thrown at them. One guy gets hurt. They eventually get out, so it doesn't really matter. Chuck Norris swings down on some rope, firing wildly, because It's Chuck Norris.
By hitting all the terrorists.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just after he uses a rocket launcher to take out two guys.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he got the rocket launcher by jumping out of a window and dropping on, down on the two guys that had it.
It's a recoilless rifle, guys. It's not a rocket
launcher. Oh, I apologize.
They weren't rockets they shot at them?
No, really? It was a recoilless rifle. It's a small cannon.
Oh.
So it was a rocket launcher. Okay, so
it's a cheap rocket launcher.
A big weapon of
he used a tube to fire an explosive.
Yep.
At two men.
So he used a t-shirt cannon.
I'll point out to all the listeners that Joe is a smug bastard and I hate him.
Yeah.
So I'll point it out.
Pushed his glasses up.
He adjusted his bow tie. This is a lot of History Channel.
Well, he is our go-to history expert.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Military history expert is Joe. So.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm going to kind of need him to identify most token black guy for me.
No, it's a loud guy.
Wow.
I thought he said... Never mind.
Yeah, we all know what you thought. All right.
Anyway.
You guys can't see the look I'm giving Tony right now.
Yeah.
But it's not a good one.
I'm on your side, but at the same time, I'm not. Because you brought all those Oreos in my house.
I'm a bastard, I know.
I hate you.
I know.
I love you. I'll defend you. I'll
point out, this is the most exciting part of the movie we're talking about right now. I can care less.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, yeah, because you also have the problem of, as I said, like, at this point in the movie, I couldn't care. So my notes have stopped long ago.
Yeah, it's all...
So,
You do plan to eventually have Chuck Norris in your Chuck Norris movie?
Huh. Well, at this point, he is in it. He's doing things. Mm. He's kicking some ass. I think they're trying to head to the other base, right? And this is when he cuts off the party wagon they got going, their convoy.
Oh, yeah, because...
on a motorcycle.
Pete interrogates that one dude and figures out that they've taken the Jewish hostages on a truck, and they're driving somewhere with them.
They're trying to get him to Iran.
Yeah. From Beirut.
So, again, why? Yeah. No idea.
No idea.
To get them to the Ayatollah.
Yep. Why?
Again, why? No idea.
Possibly to use them as leverage for something from America?
I don't know.
But what?
I don't know.
There we go. That's the point. We don't know. Anyway.
It doesn't matter. They don't get very far.
Yeah, they don't.
Convoy gets a little ways up the road, but Chuck is much faster on his dirt bike.
I'll say this, the setup for the scene is kind of badass, where the entire convoy just grinds to a halt. Oh. You see there's a fully loaded Chuck Norris blocking the road on his motorcycle.
See, here's the thing. This whole sequence is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... By the point we get to it,
an hour too late.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
like I just want it over.
Yeah, this should have been much, much earlier and much more of the movie. But yeah, we get Chuck some sweet shots of Chuck riding his dirt bike along the sunset, and then a close up of the evil eyes of Chuck as he's staring this convoy down. And yeah, just everybody just stops. And the leader rightly says, like, what the hell are you doing? You stopped because of one guy on a motorcycle. But that one guy then proceeds to fire missiles out at them.
From his motorcycle, his dirt bike.
From his dirt bike.
Where does the backblast on those missiles go?
Into Chuck Norris.
How does one target those missiles?
No idea. They move
Chuck
it along.
It just works.
When we say missiles, air quotes, it looks more like... bottle rockets?
Yeah.
Yes. A little bigger than normal.
That was
on
like
the front of the motorcycle.
But,
almost something like Wile E. Coyote would use.
Yeah.
Testers.
Just not red.
Mm-hmm. But he blows up the first Jeep that's in front. Everybody starts to scramble. He drives up alongside, takes out a few more of them.
Like, they shoot at him and he dodges the bullets by doing a wheelie.
Yeah. Somehow that works.
That works.
Yep.
I don't even remember what else happens. I know.
Oh, this one, he jumps on the truck, and the terrorist grabs his sideburns.
Right.
That fatal mistake.
Yeah. I think that's when the two Navy guys decide to just, like, shoulder butt the terrorists out of the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they finally start doing something.
They get in the battle and take control of the truck. But that's when Chuck and that one terrorist fall off the truck onto the ground. And it's a bad day for that terrorist.
We Which, sadly, this is the probably the most intense battle, or at least one-on-one hand-to-hand combat style battle you get in this whole movie.
The only one.
Well, yeah. No, when he kicks the hell out of Abdul later.
Well, I mean, the end.
But that's the thing. Yeah, it's not one of the main guys. But neither of them are a fight.
Like, it's just Chuck Norris kicking the crap out of some poor guy.
Yeah.
True, but like this should have been one of the main guys or something, or a more important dude, or everybody. He should have been doing this to everybody.
Yeah.
And that should have been the bulk of the movie, but no, it's just some rando whatever. But yeah, he chokes him out, gets back on his dirt bike, chases Mustafa, right?
No, Mustafa's dead.
Right.
Yeah, this is Abdul.
I'm terrible with
this
names.
This is when Abdul was like, you know what, we should probably shoot a few of these people.
Yeah.
And he shoots me.
Yeah.
So, but he escapes to his little bungalow up the hill.
He drove down the street.
Yeah.
That was his getaway.
He just drove half a block away.
Yeah.
Just a couple of yards over.
Yeah, not to like a bomb shelter or some kind of panic room. Mm-hmm. It's just some little bungalow.
No, it's not. It's some folks' house.
It's just a house. Yeah.
He breaks into a house.
They were so close to people who left the house because they heard the explosions, the gunfire, and saw the fight. So he got out of the house and left.
Yep.
Their dinner's on the table still, TV's still on.
But he holds up there and he thinks he's safe until he sees in the window Chuck on a dirt bike.
Yeah. He thinks he's so safe, he fucking washes his face. He takes a shit and washes his face. That's how safe he thinks he is.
Makes himself a sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, Abdul has been a turd this whole movie.
Starts he's setting been up a bath.
A mean guy, but like you feel for him in this scene. But he just goes outside and Chuck Norris is waiting there. You're like, oh, it's all over for you, Abdul.
Yeah, so he ducks back inside the house.
But that's not going to help you hide from Chuck. Comes through one of the windows on the dirt bike.
Now, I've watched it a few times. I'm still not entirely sure what he did to him. There's just some kind of punch sound effect. And Abdul goes flying, but he just rode a dirt bike into the room.
Yeah, I don't know.
He may have punched him with the dirt bike.
I mean, he could just be moving so fast, we can't tell.
Yeah,
well, maybe there's something to this when he blocked the bullets and everything before. Because every time he does a wheelie, maybe it does create a wave of force.
Oh, yeah, it's like a force push.
Yeah. Kind of.
Anyway, to call this a fight would be kind of an understatement.
It's an
overstatement.
An overstatement, I mean, yeah.
He just... beats like
it's a beating.
There's the scene where he pulls a knife, and you normally there'd be a struggle, but it's just like watching. It's like watching a full-grown adult arm wrestle an infant. He's just like holding the dude's arm, like I'm gonna get you.
He just kicks the fuck out of him.
He really does.
Yeah,
he beats the crap.
Yeah,
out of him. He throws him out the door. Until he like gets halfway, Abdul gets halfway into his car, and then Chuck kicks the car door closed on his arm.
That looked like it hurt.
I mean, this is like something you'd expect from a Steven Seagal movie.
It really was. Then Abdul's in the car. He's all bloody. He's reaching for his weapon.
Yeah, he's on death's door, basically.
And Chuck Norris is already on his dirt bike.
Yeah, like, he was ready halfway, to
halfway. He's like down the driveway, like, sucker. And gets him with the rear mortar on the thing.
He aims somehow.
But I like, he's half dead in this car. But he's using the one good arm he still has. He's trying to get the gun up there like, I'm going to shoot you. And Chuck's just watching him like, this is going to be funny. Yeah, get that up there. Okay, you ready to fire now? Missile. Like, what a dick. But yeah, so he just explodes. He's gone now.
So basically what happens is they get everybody on the plane.
Yeah, there's...
They retake the plane.
They run over through a cotton field, and...
Well, you gotta understand, like, while Chuck's doing his thing over here, the rest of the group is trying to take care of the airplane.
Yeah.
Like, Chuck even says, you know, guys, before he goes, says, go without me. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Just leave.
But no, so like,
you know how I like to make an entrance.
Once again, these guys just kind of, you know, eyeball it, and they're like, you know, how many people are there? I'm like, 12. All right, let's do this. They take them all out. Sweaty guy from before gets called out.
Sneak up on all the guards wearing all black in a fucking cotton field.
Yep. Yeah. being led by the only black guy in the group.
Like I said, he knows his way around best. Yeah.
Wow. And it's not even like they crawled.
No.
Stealth.
Even if they had crawled, they all, like, yeah, most of them perfectly stand up, cut this fence, rip it down, and then just saunter up there to where, like, most of these, in fact, 12 guards are all just taking a nap.
Honestly, yeah, every last one.
As if, like, explosions weren't going on, like, 20 feet away. But
bunch of stealth kills.
Yeah. Well, I don't get about this scene here. Now, there are, like, 12 of these guys coming up at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all have weapons, right? But instead of them all taking a shot at one guy at the same time, one guy tries to shoot all of them, and then the rest start trying to run up and stab the rest of them.
Because clearly he's the best shot, because he took out every one of them with one hit.
Yeah, one was all they needed.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, it should have been like, ready, fire.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Should have just been, and everybody's gone.
That other guy, Khalil, like, they're just like, basically just knock on the plane. He's like, what's up? And gets shot in the head and falls down the stairs.
So he's out. So now the plane is theirs. They load everybody back on. They're like, hey, we're getting out of here. You cool with that? We're cool with that.
I do like, though, when they all just storm on the plane and, like, all the flight attendants, like, shoot up out of the seats. He's just like, good morning.
Yeah.
It's like, awesome alarm clock.
But I'm like, watching closely, there's one guy that just, like, grabs all the pillows. And I don't know if he's trying to steal them or if he's like, shit, people are getting on the plane. We need to clean up this, like, shit.
Those are
what?
My pillows.
Yeah. Like, I had a pillow fort going here.
You know what I went through to get those pillows.
But they're like, all right, we're taking off in this plane. They tell air traffic control, but they're like, no, you can't do this. You're crazy. And they're like, yeah, fuck you. We're doing it anyway. America.
But there's some Jeeps on the runway.
There are some Jeeps.
Yeah, they're blocking the
way. They're firing at them. Yeah. But don't worry, there's a Chuck on the runway as well. Mm-hmm. And once again, he just, with the machine guns on the front of his car, or his dirt bike, takes out both Jeeps that are roughly on both his sides at this point.
All right, you know what looked less ridiculous than this scene? Remember at the end of Hot Shots where Charlie Sheen flew the plane between two other planes and slapped them with his wings and the two planes just fell out of the sky? That looked more plausible than what Chuck Norris did here.
Sounds about right.
Oh, man. It's true.
Yeah. Funny thing is, this would make more sense if this was just like he had guns somehow mounted on the handlebar or something, like directly across. Yeah. And just drove between them, fired, because now you're in that line of fire. But
I would have believed it more if he just drove up next to them and kicked the car.
Yeah. That too.
That would have been more awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, now runway's clear. They throw a rope out.
He drives past them and fires the mortars back.
Yeah, right.
And nobody does anything.
Yeah.
And then Dry catches up to the plane on his dirt bike, and they rope him up into the plane.
I guess that's a stunt, I guess. I guess that was Chuck Norris doing it.
It was Chuck Norris. Yeah, I mean, that looks like he did all of his own stunts, as far as I can tell.
That is impressive, but too bad the rest of the movie wasn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, and meanwhile, we get the first of our hap sadness, where half the plane is, you know, having a big Ewok party or whatever, celebrating their newfound freedom, and the front of the plane is mourning the loss of Pete and Pete.
Oh, Pete's it's still the process. Pete's in the process of dying at this point.
Yeah.
They're handing out Budweiser's, and he's up front. Like,
drinking blood.
That's what I wanted to point out, because these people have been sweating for days and just dehydrated as fuck. You give them a Budweiser.
Give them the worst possible beer you can think of.
Seriously.
It's good enough Peyton Manning. It's good enough for them.
All right.
Sure.
Budweiser's money is good enough for Peyton
Manning. Well, yeah, like, so we got Pete on the gurney, like, bleeding out. He was like, Sarge, you made it, Sarge. Permission to die, Sarge.
Tell my wife I love her.
You've got the heart of a champion.
And give all my stuff to my brother.
You see, you guys, I was hiding like you guys. I was hiding like you guys. They still see me.
I'm a champion, right? Right, Sarge? Am I good enough for you now?
Dad,
is. Tell me you love me, Daddy.
Another Skywalker.
All right. It is sad that this guy died. I'll admit that. But sure. Like,
none of us are saying it.
Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. It's like, damn. You know, this is how you're gonna end your movie with that. Like,
sort of.
Well, that's again the bizarre thing of this is like, for no reason, only one member, none of the hostages. Well, I guess the one hostage before, but one hostage and one member of the Delta Force die. And meanwhile, you got everybody, or almost everybody, celebrating on this plane, except the Delta Force.
There's a lesson here.
At least it wasn't Bobby.
Freedom isn't free.
There's a hefty fucking fee.
Costs folks like you and me.
Yeah.
America.
They should have had that song there. Yeah. It didn't exist. Hold on.
Instead, they went with the Durka Durka song for the terrorist town.
They really did.
That's where they spent their budget.
It's probably if they had just stayed in the cotton field long enough to put the... Never mind. So...
But yeah, now we get back to...
Israel.
This is in Israel?
I think so.
Okay.
Because they're getting with the other... The ladies.
I do love the way it's filmed, though, where it looks like the plane is just, like, straight dive bombing.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, all the fire escorts pull up. And, yeah, it looks like it's just going to crash.
Yeah. But, yeah, they get back to Israel. They got the, you know, their wives and children, whoever else, their loved ones waiting for them. Once again, everyone's celebrating, having a great time, except the Delta Force, who are crying and carrying a dead body.
Yeah.
So once again, it's like, you thought you were happy. Don't be happy. You can't be happy. Because we're playing a sad song now.
And there's not even
we're
like
really a playing a sad song. We're just playing the same.
It's a different part of the same song.
Well, there's not even like a discussion of like, was it worth it? You know, we lost Pete, but we saved all these people or something. Like something to validate it. It was just like, let's just go home.
Well, that's just it. Like, this could have been just a good movie. Yeah, but this could have been that moment where they're like, you know, okay, we lost Pete and that's a terrible loss, but look at all these people. Like, no, it's, you can't be, these people look happy, but you shouldn't be because this guy died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, where are you going with this? What are you trying to say?
They're trying to say without saying, since obviously dialogue was just not okay in this movie.
At all.
No, there was dialogue, it's just nobody knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah.
Great dialogue, like, take this doll, I can't do this, and do it, you cunt.
So the Delta Force giant-ass plane takes off. What kind of plane was it,
Jim? C-130.
C-130. And thankfully, mercifully, this movie ends.
Yeah.
Or does it? No.
It does. Yes.
So that is Delta Force. So Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 20%, and audiences gave this a 49%.
That's about right. Wow.
No.
No, but so many people are like, America.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Weinberg of eFilmsCritics.com said it was half disaster, half action, low budget cheese that's still fairly entertaining in spots. It's a glowing recommendation. Okay. And the Delta Force settles down in a well-made action film that tantalizes us with its perils of real life, says Roger Ebert of Chicago Sun-Times.
Really?
Did he say that in 1986?
Yep.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He also said a whole lot more than that. That's just a clip of it.
He must have also had something nice to eat while he was watching it.
His happy fat dance.
Yeah.
Or a tall glass of water.
Good cupcake. Yeah, I'm feeling good mood right now.
Exactly. Maybe some weed brownies. Anyway, so what is your final view of this, Rob?
No, don't bother. Don't bother. This movie takes so long to get where it's going that by the time you're there, you don't give a crap anymore. Like, even the fight scenes, the very brief fight scenes that they are, you can get better fight scenes in other Chuck Norris movies. Like, there's no reason I can think of to watch this movie. Unless you want to see a shirtless 6-year-old girl, in which case...
Oh, yeah, we didn't touch on that.
No, and nor should we. This is it.
Do not touch on shirtless six-year-old
it's
girl.
Just fair, like fair there's enough. There's no it like it's trying to make a statement and it's so self-serious and like they kind of it seems like while they were making this they kind of forgot they were making a Chuck Norris movie. It's like, oh yeah, we're gonna make a statement. It's like, and then at the end they're like, oh yeah, I forgot, we gotta have the white guy karate going on in here too. So no, please don't bother.
Brian.
I would. So if you're one of America that wants to be afraid of everything that doesn't look like you, then watch this movie in all its glory. Nowadays, if you're not that kind of America, don't watch the movie and hold on to your visions of Chuck Norris being badass. This movie will ruin it for you.
He's still badass.
This movie will ruin it for you. Do not let this movie ruin your childhood of Chuck Norris. Hold on tight to it. Hold on tight to your Chuck Norris visions. And don't watch this movie.
Hold on tight to those visions. Hold on tight to those denim jackets. Hold on tight to that mullet.
You keep that Walker Texas Ranger in your heart.
But Brian, Walker told me I have AIDS.
All right,
well,
Joe. Are you, yeah. Are you okay with brown people?
All right. If you have to watch this movie, if you're that curious, just watch it on a computer. Go ahead, grab the little slidey bar and drag it right to like the 3/4 mark. And maybe from that point on, it's passable. But you will miss nothing. Like, you'll be like, who are these characters? Oh, I can immediately identify them because they're archetypes. And just jump right in and you'll have missed nothing. And like, you'll see the only real good parts of the movie.
Anyway.
Yeah. To call them good parts is kind of generous. I mean, I liked when Chuck Norris beat the shit out of Abdul just because, you know, Abdul was a turd for the whole movie. But, like, yeah, there wasn't much going on here. And then, I mean, I don't mean to get political for a little bit, but just that whole idea of, like, in that hostage situation, all we do is just immediately respond with extreme violence all the time as the solution. It didn't sit well with me. Is that I can't recommend this movie. Maybe a little bit of the action at the end, but that's it.
Yeah, I can't say I'm really any better on that. It's like an hour and a half of shit, and then like 20 minutes for basically a YouTube's worth of video worth of good action. It's two totally different movies. The beginning is this weird story about this hostage situation and like this woman that doesn't want to persecute Jews again, and it's so bizarre and kind of more on the drama side, but also very dull and doesn't actually get anywhere. It couldn't seem to decide what it wanted to be, and it's almost like I think it's Bruno Mattei film, if you know what that is. Oh, no one here? Okay. But he piecemeals movies, much like the Power Ranger show was, where he'll take Japanese movies with, like, monsters and whatever else and ninjas and things that don't quite get finished and then throw in a bunch of American actors in between to try and make it into a full-length movie, but it never quite works.
Oh, Sandy Frank.
Yeah, that too. But, like, yeah, it almost feels like that, where they had one movie they were trying to do that was a bit more serious about a hostage situation, and then they just threw in some Chuck Norris stuff later to try and pad it out, and it just does not work. So, yeah, I can't in good conscience recommend this movie. All right, so that's a fail on all of us. So do we have a movie to recommend?
Well, I have a few. I mean, if you want to just see, like, some white people go around and kill some not white people, there's a whole ton of that in the 80s. Like, you know.
No, really?
Yeah. You know, any of the Rambos, Commando, whatever. Iron Eagle. Just take your pick, you know. There's a whole bunch of, like, army guy goes and kills some other military. But if you want to see one about a plane hostage situation that's way better, I would recommend Kurt Russell's Executive Decision. First off, like, way more suspense, way more developed characters. You know, it balances the time between all the characters well. And other than the little airplane landing scene at the end, is a really solid movie. But the added bonus, Steven Seagal's in it for 20 minutes and gets sucked out an airlock, and you get to watch him like fly away and die. Wow. It's great.
Plus Kurt Russell.
Plus Kurt Russell. That's almost always a plus.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to recommend Jurassic Park because dinosaurs.
Playing that card early, huh?
Playing that card every time I can.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, I guess that does it for this. What is up next on the docket? Brian.
So, let's see here. Those of you who don't know, we pick our movies, but we have a master list of movies. We roll a die, 20-sided die. And when that number comes up, is our next movie. Let's give it a roll. A 20.
That's a 20. 20 is Milo and Otis.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Animal lovers, feel free to skip this next episode.
Yeah. Back I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch this one, knowing what they did to these poor cats and dogs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's, man.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about Milo and Otis.
Yeah, I forgot that was on the list.
All so right. Instead of candy, I'll just get tissues for everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Fucking Dudley Moore.
I forgot he was in that. So, guys, Milo and Otis next time. And if you want to suggest another movie for us, go ahead and email us. You can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the number 4ampodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. And, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes and wherever podcasts are sold.
Someone please write something on iTunes so we know someone's out there.
If anybody could actually understand what the plot to this movie was,
oh yeah, please write
it to us.
That'd be great.
I think it'll only be like a paragraph.
Or if anyone knows where you can get those sweet, sweet dirt bikes with the rocket launchers and machine guns attached. Or for that matter...
And if we could learn how to safely fire them.
Yeah. And just as a question, and I'm posing this to Rob too, which one do you think is more racially insensitive, this movie or Short Circuit?
Short Circuit.
Yeah. Yeah. Short Circuit. Its pivotal scene was centered around racist jokes.
Also, if you love America but hate brown people, put your head in your toilet and just hold it under the water until you forget why.
And on that note, I think we'll bid you adieu. Goodbye, everybody.
Sleep tight, sucker.
Have a great one, guys.
See you when I see you.
Brian, can I just say something to you out of love?
What's up?
You smell bad.
Did I just fart?
No, like this whole time.
Oh, word?
Yeah. Like death and iced tea. You need some deodorant or something?
Word? Oh, really? Yeah.
I wasn't sure who it was, but when you got up and went into the kitchen, I didn't smell it anymore.
I'm pretty stinky myself. Back.
I don't know.
Maybe it's...
Just yeah, it's working over. Yeah, I think it might just be
maybe all of you are smelling. Because I washed and
I got to get him out of retail.
I got cologne on and shit. Like,
I showered just before coming here.
I apologize. That was a false accusation.
Man, I'm like, worried. I mean, but I appreciate
based
you
on
want,
circumstantial yeah, evidence.
To let me know, though, I would hope that someone would let me know when I smell bad. I appreciate
Joey, I think it's most likely me.
I didn't. Well, that's the thing. I didn't smell it while we were watching the movie. You were sitting next to me. I don't know.